Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
Hello, my friends. We're another week deeper into these COVID times. On the bright side, the cold winter is starting to bloom into spring. More sunlight reaches through the clouds. The trees living in the cement forest that is New York are starting to bud. Even as we're staying home and self-isolating, with just a glance out the window, you see the earth coming back to life. For me, this serves as a reminder to breathe a little deeper, find joy in each passing moment, and to laugh every day. This week's guest reminds me just to do that. Laugh a little harder. J.L. Coven is a comedian with a killer impersonation of Donald J. Trump.
And then I made a cell phone video during a pandemic before going to walk my dog. It really blew up.
Just a few weeks before Easter Sunday, JL recorded an off-the-cuff selfie-style video wearing a MAGA hat and proceeded to say,
God versus Trump. Who brings back more people on Easter Sunday?
With this, he became an overnight success, bringing moments of laughter into homes across the states. He's quarantine's new favorite comedian.
The JL Show, oh.
JL Coven, welcome to The Ginny Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
When you talked for a little bit, I had to readjust my ears and be like, hang on, he doesn't sound like the man he's impersonating and who's also been in the news quite frequently.
Right.
Donald Trump, clearly Trump being president has kind of, you've kind of ridden on his coattails and got the fame from him.
Well, it's weird because I was trying to for about 4 years and then finally a pandemic hit. I'd done sketch videos where I wrote them out. I had comedians act in them. I did makeup and hair with people. I was like, oh, they're going to see these. These are amazing. We're going to, and they would get 1,000 views, 2,000 views. And I was like, hey, that's not terrible, but that's not worth the investment I'm making in terms of effort. And then I made a cell phone video during a pandemic before going to walk my dog. No makeup, just threw the MAGA hat on. And it blew up. It really blew up. Like, not just like, hey, good video. It was like, no, everybody from every phase of my life contacted me over the next week. Like, oh my God, I saw your video. Oh, my uncle sent me your video. Oh, hey, it's your teacher from fifth grade. Saw the video. Amazing. So yeah, it was crazy because it just proves, you know, I guess you have to be ready for your moment. And I've been a comedian for 16 years and doing sketch videos for like 10 years. You have to be ready. And I feel like well past ready for a moment, but it honestly felt like I had just gotten 7 years of a career in 72 hours. It was like very overwhelming. So,
wow.
but still an overall positive.
It's interesting that you say that because your video was actually sent to me by my trainer. And when I was playing it and the people that I sent it to, people who didn't get the visual, like people who actually weren't watching the video, they actually
right.
thought Trump was giving a press conference about Easter. And they're like, did he seriously say something about Good Friday and the Corinthians and the Easter Bunny? So, like, you know, this is quite, because, and also when you watch the video, and, you know, we'll put the video in the show notes, the mannerisms that you have to the very intricate details of the head tilt and the mouth curvature, did you study him, or is this just something that you have been so method at?
I have always been good at impressions. Trump is an example. I think the reason, until this one, I wouldn't have known which one I would say was my best impression. I had a lot of very good ones. But there's never been so much media saturation and ability to study someone without actively trying to study them. every night on the news, Trump, 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 Trump. Every morning, drinking my coffee, Trump, 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 Trump. Like, I mean, and forget when he was running, it was like the Trump show. The news was basically the Trump show. So I had been working on a Trump right around the time that he started, ran for president. I wasn't even thinking, oh, wow, this will be so useful. I was like, hey, I kind of think I have a Trump impression. Then he runs and then he's on TV nonstop. So it was like, I couldn't help, as somebody who's kind of an observer and good at impressions, like you just keep picking up little thing. And it's literally like studying somebody for 4 years, but I didn't have to actively, like I said, study. I didn't have to go, let me look up clips of Trump. Where can I find video of Donald Trump? Are there any archives somewhere? No, every day it's 6 hours a day on TV. So it wasn't that I studied it. It's that I'm good at this. And then I've never had so much material and so much absorption. Whereas if somebody else that I do an impression of had been president, then I'm sure I would be like just as great at that impression. But this one is such a unique, even for presidents, because I had a really good Obama when I used to kind of actively do it. I'd rate the Obama as like an A-, the Trump as an A+. And I think part of that is because there is so, even Obama was not covered nearly as, I mean, this guy is, he's a, what if the president was also a horrific car wreck? That's how the news covers him. Like, he is a political figure, a tragedy, and a sensational tabloid story all in one that never stops. So, wow. Sorry, long answer, but that's the process. That's my method.
Yeah.
Watch the news.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the mannerisms, the tilt of the head, and even some of the stuff, you know, to be honest, the good God, like the way that you were saying these things, it was just on point. And I was just so supremely talented, JL. And I have to say, like, you know, all the media coverage you've been getting, heard, like, you know, off air, you told me you were on the Today Show in Australia, which is great. Curious to know too, did you ever think that your 16 years of comedic talents and work would lead up to impersonating this guy who is causing such a storm for his, what he says and what he doesn't say at such a scale?
Well, what's weird is that when I started doing comedy, I did a lot of impressions on stage. That's just, and I've watched old videos of myself, and I was always good for my phase. You know, I was good for a newcomer. I was good for a fourth year comic. But when I look back at some of that stuff that I was doing in my second or third year, I cringe. I'm like so embarrassed, because it's like, what if so-and-so walked into a grocery store and was like, bleh, bleh. And it's like any decent comedian with a soul will be like, I can't believe I did that stuff.
Right.
But you're new and you don't know, and people like impressions. But I started, as about 3 or 4 years into my career, I really started to go away from impressions because I had more that I wanted to say on stage. And it felt more and more like I would have had to force impressions into the act, which then breaks up the continuity and makes it seem more like, hey guys, let me totally stop the momentum just to shoehorn this voice in that you may or may not like. So I started using my YouTube channel for that, as like, hey, this will be like my own personal Saturday Night Live, and my stand-up will be my comedy and my thoughts. So what's odd is that to come back 16 years later, or, you know, the Trump, I'm now quote unquote famous for the Trump, but I've been doing the Trump for a few years now. So even like 13 years in, for it to be an impression that I start doing after trying to separate that from my act, for that, it's like almost, could I have just cut out 15 years there and just been like, if I just stuck with funny voices, maybe I'd be super famous by now. Instead of trying to tell people how thoughtful and smart and my sharp, witty observations on the world and on life. So it's very weird to be at this point, because I was sort of in a mindset of quitting comedy. I hadn't like handed in my resignation, as there is no place to do that in comedy. But I moved out of the city. I was offered a full-time job at a law firm and took it, because I was just sort of saying, I can no longer prioritize comedy. I still want to do it. But even that's a big step back, to say, I will eliminate a lot of my flexibility for travel, for road gigs. I will move to a place where it won't be as easy to do open mics when I want to workshop material. So even though I hadn't quit and I was clearly putting out content still, I had really taken a major step back in terms of the direction my life was going to go. And as I've joked with people, I'm sorry, this is a long answer, but as I've joked with people, I've said, all I had to do to make it was leave the city I've lived in, which is a comedy mecca. I just had to leave after 40 years of being a New Yorker. I had to leave the center of stand-up comedy, take a day job that eliminated most of my comedy work opportunities, and have a global pandemic hit. And then voila, there is my comedy career resurrected on this holy weekend of all times.
I was going to say too, and thank you for your thoughtful answer. I mean, I particularly enjoyed...
Well, as your listeners are saying, very long answer.
No, it's actually really interesting to see how things kind of work out, because the last kind of financial crisis that the world experienced, there were companies and you know, WhatsApp was formed in the last financial crisis that we have. And there are positive stories that are forming during this pandemic as well. And I'm curious to know too, you know, JL, you're someone who brings a lot of laughter and joy to people constantly. How are you keeping light and joyful during this time?
I will say that before I answer that, that reminds me, the only other time I've worked for a law firm, I was an associate in 2008. I got hired the beginning of 2008 and was laid off in the second month of 2009 with the financial crash. Wow. So I'm thinking maybe when I take jobs at law firms, maybe it's not my comedy career that's jinxed. Maybe just nobody wants me to make a lot of money, and like the world has to collapse each time I actually have like a nice salary. But what brings me joy? That's interesting. Well, my girlfriend's staring at me, so I think I'm supposed to say her. And my dog. And it's like weird because in normal times, my dog can annoy me. And it feels like in these cramped circumstances, my girlfriend is a very laid back, chill person, which I'm not really. And my dog, though normally annoying, has been a great stay-at-home companion. And I, as cheesy as that might sound, I feel like having that around, I'm probably more the up and down sort of more erratic type personality compared to my girlfriend. So I feel like it's been very nice with them. And I don't know if they could answer the same way about me.
Right.
Especially when this hit. I mean, during those days, I feel like I was almost becoming manic depressive because I was getting like celebrities on Twitter following me, retweeting me. And I mean, Richard Marx, the famous 80s power ballad singer,
yep,
is now sort of my social media friend. He gave me his number. He's like, when you're in LA, I want to hang out. Like what you're doing is so
That's
good.
Awesome.
And like it's crazy because 3 weeks ago, because I don't want to act like, oh my God, I've made it. But my career has never been bigger or more known, I should say, than it is now, which is ridiculous. I can't do any gigs. I'm stuck at home. I have a day job. And yet my online celebrity is like magnitudes greater than it's ever been. And fortunately for humor, it's not like I did something else. I'm not some guy who like, he rescued a kitten during the quarantine. He's a hero. No, it's like, it's for my humor. So it's very weird though.
Yeah.
So I guess, long answer once again, but I feel like I don't even know if it's joy. It's happiness. It's contentment, I feel, because I have a nice dog and a great girlfriend just kind of give, and there goes the dog. She heard herself, yeah, get mentioned.
She's acknowledging you.
Thank you, Cookie. Yeah, good compliments over, Cookie. I'm not somebody who really gets overjoyed about things. It's like things like I feel comedy beat that out of me, and now it's more that sense of a job well done. So I feel like pride in whatever this success I have right now. It's more like pride because I feel like my skills and my work ethic have earned this. So I'm not sort of like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. It's more like I am proud of myself and I'm happy that people have recognized the work I've done. But I'm not, you know, it's once again, very long answer, and I don't know if I
No. No, thank you for all the context.
The Ginny Show. Her dream is to play Rafiki in The Lion King. That's because she acts like a baboon.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
The Ginny Show. We tell you things we probably shouldn't.
What I'm hearing from that, JL, is there's this whole notion of an overnight success. And for most people who are quote-unquote an overnight success, what isn't talked about as much is the years of practice and work that's right. put in behind that. And it seems to be the case for you. And what an inspiring story that you were like, you know what, I'm going to move out of New York City, the mecca of dreams, comedy, live entertainment, and anything you want to achieve that you can make it, move out of there, get a job at a law firm to kind of stabilize your career, and then
and the,
you
know, the
do
job,
a full 360.
Right. I wasn't even looking for the job. That's what's so crazy is that an agency that I've been staffed by was like, oh, there's this full-time position at a firm. Would you like to take? And I was like, no, I don't, but I don't know. I'm 40. I've been sort of living this part-time legal work, part-time traveling comedian life for many years. I don't know how many more of these will just fall into my lap. And I just thought I have to take it. It wasn't like, oh my God, thank God it's here. I was just like, this just fell into my lap. This is going to be the most money I've made in a decade. I've given it a real effort. I have sacrificed financial health and personal stability for a decade. I cannot do that with my 40s. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I am not one of those, hey, I'm just going to do it until it happens. I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm really good and it hasn't happened. And I have to sort of just be able to find some kind of resolve to say, I really gave it the best I could. And I have a few things. I've had some nice appearances, some albums, some TV appearances that I can say, you know what, look, I really did do it. I didn't make it all the way, you know, but I did a good job. And I was getting into that space where I was like, all right, eventually I hope I can just look at it the way maybe an athlete looks at their career. Like, you can't do it forever and you just have to be proud of whatever you were able to do. And I was trying to get in a headspace reluctantly. And then, you know, I sent out a Twitter video before walking my dog that I ad-libbed. And all of a sudden I'm a quarantine's favorite comedian.
Probably not an accolade you thought you'd ever have, right?
No, and my last name is Covan, and I've already decided that whatever special or album I put out after this is going to be called Covan 40.
Covan.
As sort of an homage to COVID-19.
Right.
Assuming that this doesn't take a rapid turn and we have like 2 million dead people, because that is what could obviously change my fortunes again. It's like, you know who we blame? The comedian who exploited this to become famous. Boo.
Again. Right. You know, it's interesting because Trump obviously doesn't take very lightly to people making fun of him. So he always tweets at SNL, previously used to tweet at SNL, especially when Alec Baldwin imitated him. And I know Jimmy Fallon imitates him too, but I'm unsure about the Twitter conversations there. What do you think he will tweet at you if he hasn't tweeted at you yet?
There's nothing he could tweet at me that wouldn't be awesome. For me, do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I would say, if I had to guess what he'd say, and I'll do it, I guess I can do it in his voice. It would just basically be something like failed comedian who only has Twitter views because I'm so great or something. It would be, but he'd have to call me a failed comedian, especially since I already referred to myself as a failed comedian.
Right.
I'm sure it would be, but I think he knows enough not to reach so far down. Like Alec Baldwin, SNL is like the lowest he'll reach.
Right.
Because below that, you're actually just going to make a star out of somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
Whereas at least Baldwin's already high profile. So he views that probably as celebrity to celebrity fighting.
Right.
But yeah, if he tweeted at me that I'm a failed comedian, I think my career would be made for the next 10 years.
Wow.
So bring it on, Mr. President.
It's almost scary how much power people have, for better or for worse, when you think of it that way. Like that one tweet could literally cement some stardom for you.
I went from I had 4,200 Twitter followers 17 days ago. I have 76,000 as of this recording.
Wow.
I have to say, I've tried to make myself more of a less of a Twitter fighter, because I've seen that happen with people, and I could feel almost the urge to like, well, what if I tweet some trash at you, if I talk some trash, I'm going to have 350 likes and people commenting in my behalf. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't get power hungry. Don't, like, 'cause you feel this buzz like, oh, this joke used to only get 20 likes and 2 retweets. It now has 700 likes and 119 retweets. And then you're like, ooh, should I do it again? And I'm like, no. With great with great Twitter power comes great Twitter responsibility.
You seem to be quite centered there, JR. What I really am hearing from you is, like, even though you may, you're like, okay, I could go down this path. It's very tempting. You're very aware of what you actually want to create here, which is pretty amazing.
Well, I'm like really smart. Okay, that's the first thing. And secondly, I've been a failure until the age of 40 in terms of my dream. I've had ups and downs. I've had nice years, nice credits. But it's like, if this had happened to me at 28, and I was a good person and a nice person and fairly centered, but you still can't completely guarantee that you'll react in a 100% sort of healthy and sane way.
Mm.
And so I think with this happening at 40, where I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, it's more like, oh, all right, this rocks, versus like, you can't touch me. Do you know who I am? Like, that might have been me at 28.
Right.
Reluctantly, but I might have just gotten to that point because it would have been like, I don't have any of this grant. Like, in other words, I might have been on this rocket ship of like, oh my God, everything I do succeeds.
Right.
Now, this was like my, you know, my fourth quarter of my career. And it's like, I'm grateful for the appreciation and for the recognition, but rather than, because I've done plenty, I've joked with friends, I've said, I have talked up my comedy career for years, like the way Kanye West talks up his music.
Mm.
Now, it seems arrogant when he does it, and it probably seems ridiculous when I do it, because it's like, yeah, but you're not successful at all. And I'm like, but the material, the work is high quality, and I stand by it, and I've been putting out good work for over a decade. So I would say that because I was like, well, nobody else is boosting me clearly, so I've got to be my own salesman.
Yeah.
Sometimes that seems good. Sometimes that seems arrogant or absurd to some. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, well, now people do recognize it. So whatever comes from here, I've gotten, as shallow as it may seem a little bit, I feel like I've gotten some of the validation. I always believed in my own stuff, but you can believe in your own stuff. It doesn't give you a career. It doesn't give you money, like, unless other people. It's an art form that you're sharing. It's not a journal that you like writing for yourself. So it requires some external validation for it to kind of be a full success instead of just like a personal triumph that nobody cares about.
Well, that internal kind of focus that you have and that internal cheerleading that you needed to do for so long until you got to the point where you could get that external validation. Internal cheerleading can be very hard, especially if you're faced with so much rejection and to the point where you had to move and think, all right, I'm going to go work for a law firm now. This is what it is.
Yeah, it's, and I'm not a mantra guy. I'm a self-hating Catholic. I have a realistic appraisal, which was, and I said this for a few years, I said, I know I'm good, but I don't want to die broke or like unhealthy or something. Like, at some point, I can't make the world do what I want it to do. I can hope, but then other things, you want to move on with your life. You if you can't make it, because comedy is the kind of thing you really have to go for it. Sometimes it can be harmful or exclusionary of other things. And I reached a point where I was like, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can, without monetary reward, without sort of a way to make it the thing I'm doing. I can't work from 9:30 to 7, 5 days a week, and then be like, okay, and now I'll be home at 11:30 because I got to grind this out, even though the last 6 years tell me that this is a waste of time. I've got to keep at it. I can't do it. So I needed a little lucky break, and I it feels like hopefully I got one.
Amazing. It's just, I mean, I'm really inspired by your story. The fact that the fact that you moved and then you're like, you know what, this is what it's going to be. And you also kept really real about where you were at, and you accepted that realism, which is really hard to do sometimes, which is amazing. JL, do tell the good people of The Ginny Show where we can find you.
Okay. My website is jlcomedy.com. There you can find links to my YouTube channel, my Twitter page, but youtube.com/JL Covin. Twitter is @JL Covin. And my podcast, I have two podcasts, but the one that most people are interested in now, because I do it as Trump, is called Making Podcasts Great Again. So that's had a huge a huge jump in listenership. And that's been nice to see. Cause that you talk about something that was like a passion project. It was like,
right.
Yay, another 400 listens, no sponsorship, no anything, nobody following us on Twitter. And then thanks to the video, I luckily and smartly, I guess, linked the video. I said, if you like this, check out at Trump Pod, the show account.
Right.
So when that went viral, many people also went to the show to hear more of it. So that was, I guess, smart on my part.
Making podcasts great again. Very clever. Well, JL Covan, thanks so much for being a part of the Ginny Show and for making me laugh and spending time with me this Good Friday. So thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
God bless everybody. I'm Corey Cambridge, host of OPP, which stands for Other People's Podcasts. On OPP, I sit down and interview America's top podcasters to learn more about them, the dope shows they created, and every episode they even share with me their top three favorite podcasts. Check out my latest episode with Aaron Almond Updike and Aaron Welsh, host of the amazing podcast, by searching OPP with Corey Cambridge on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the U.S. and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.